But first, you need to be made aware of the context of your visit. You know the province's history, how it came into being at the end of the Age of Wars, when what was needed was the restoration of reason, order, and law. And of course, we are a pedagogical order, and so have nothing to do with politics. Nonetheless, underlying Castalia are some hidden, complex problems buried in its political foundations. You will be staying a while in the Abbey among the fathers and will probably hear a little political talk. If you would simply inform me from time to time of such matters, I would be grateful.
Inform you?
Please understand that I am not asking you to be a spy or to pass on anything that goes against your conscience. In any case, what could we do with such information? We are not real politicians and have no real power.
It's always been like this. Being chosen, followed, listened to, picked out, tested. I've been passed from one teacher to the next, and they all expect me to keep moving higher. And I will, won't I? No one's going to let me settle for anything less.
But why was it that Joseph realized this so late and so reluctantly? Because he had not sought it at all, and he did not want it. Joseph arrived at the massive, ancient monastery high in the mountains. He savored the simple comfort of his rooms, the peace of the cloisters, and the fine little city-state beyond the walls of barns and vineyards, cobblers and tailors, cattle and sheep. He was even invited to play the famous organ. There was a kind of venerable slowness to the place, which Joseph observed and admired, and eventually submitted to. Meanwhile, he spent a great deal of time in the library, roaming freely among the shelves, except in a corner where a table had been laid out for one of the monks. Although the library was full of priceless books, he seemed to be the only scholar at serious work. This was Father Jacobus. After some months, he approached Joseph and spoke to him.
You will find in me neither a specialist on the history of Castalia nor a player of the glass bead game. But since our two orders are forming ever closer ties of friendship, I would be happy to take personal advantage now and then of your presence among us.
The old man's skillful blend of ceremony and mockery was familiar to Joseph from his studies in Chinese. With gratitude and pleasure, he accepted Father Jacobus's invitation to call on him that evening.
Father Jacobus?
Come in.
They talked about Purcell and Handel, and Joseph asked to be told more about the Benedictine order. And what might he, in turn, tell Father Jacobus of Castalia?
Frankly, I have never been interested in Castalia, which I feel to be a blasphemous imitation of a Christian order. No God, or church, or religion.
That's as maybe, but from a Castalian perspective.
The conversation grew lively and touched on 100 questions. The two started to spend part of each day in conversation, and Joseph came to realize how much he had to learn from this eminent historian. Meanwhile, the Magister Ludi himself wrote to reassure Joseph and to offer further guidance.
We, the Order, have to consider the possibility of future threats to our province. We have to build bridges and to forge bonds in order to protect ourselves. In short, we intend to establish a permanent representative of Castalia at the Holy See in Rome. The time has come to bridge the ancient gulf between the Church and our order. The Catholic Church is a power that has withstood all kinds of shocks for centuries. We need to convince it of our importance, of how much we depend upon one another.
You mathematicians and glass bead game players have distilled a kind of world history to suit your taste. It consists of nothing but ideas and art. You know all about the decay of Latin syntax in the second century, but not a thing about Jesus Christ or Alexander Nothing exists for you but laws and formulae. No good or evil, no yesterday or tomorrow. Nothing but an eternal mathematical present.
But how is one to study history without attempting to bring order to it?
How old are you, Knecht?
35, Father.
And no real sense of history. To study history means submitting to chaos and nevertheless retaining faith in order and meaning. It is a very serious task, young man, and possibly a tragic one.
After some 2 years, Joseph had adapted to life in the monastery. He helped the organist revive the singing of motets, made several important finds in the music archives, and trained a small beginner's class in the glass bead game. What pleased him most was that he gradually brought Father Jacobus to speak of Castalia with tolerance and even respect. This he held a personal triumph. And then another letter arrived from the Magister Ludi.
I understand you have become acquainted with Father Jacobus. He is, as I am sure you realize, a leading light of contemporary Catholic thinking. If he comes to think well of Castalia, if you can persuade him to support our endeavor, then the security of Castalia is secured. This is your assignment. I hope you will agree to it.
Joseph was deeply troubled to think that his conversations with Father Jacobus would now be seen to have an ulterior motive. He was also disturbed by a note he received from the music master.
I hear you have become some sort of diplomat. Not a pleasant occupation, but it seems our people are happy with you. If, though, it is not the career for you, then be on your guard against it. I think they want to capture you for it. And please do not ask me any questions. I will say no more.
Joseph thought hard about how to broach the subject of Rome. In the end, Father Jacobus anticipated him.
You try to exalt this game into a sacrament, but sacraments do not arise this way. The game is still a game.
You mean, Reverend Father, that we lack theology?
I would say that the concept of theology is so remote from Castalian thought that it might be impossible for us to discuss.
I see. Then perhaps...
It's late, my friend.
Oh, of course. I'll leave you to rest.
Just before you go, there was one other thing. You know, Joseph, I greatly enjoy our talks. Your energy and brilliance are as good as a cure for old age.
I'm pleased to hear it.
But it would be as well for us to keep things clear.
I'm sorry?
I'm not sure how those who have sent you here will benefit from our conversations. To be frank, you didn't seem entirely sure why you were here when you arrived, but now you have a sense of purpose. Am I correct?
Well,
I thought as much. I have also concluded that your assignment concerns not the glass bead game or the monastery, but me. Am I correct in that also? I'm afraid not much of your secret is left. I would like to suggest that we make things entirely transparent. So, tell me, Josef Knecht, what is your mission here?
Forgive me. I'm so ashamed that you have had to speak first. I will tell you exactly what they have charged me with.
Castalian presence in Rome. I see. Well, Joseph, I'll give serious consideration to this proposal. My decision will depend on how well you can persuade me of Castalia's intentions and ideals. But observe, please, a little lesson in diplomacy. I seized the initiative because I had lost it. You knew more than I. Now, the balance has been restored.
Another year passed, and while Joseph was content to remain at the monastery and to learn all he could from the father, he also knew he had to keep up with the glass bead game. He listened on the radio to lectures and seminars and games. His conversations with Father Jacobus continued to be friendly, although there was to be another surprise.
Have you heard anything recently about your friend, Plinio De Signori?
Plinio? How do you... I don't understand.
Oh, Mr. De Signori is well known to us. He has written a polemic attacking the church and attacking me in particular.
Why would he attack you?
Oh, I suppose I am seen in some circles as a figure of influence or authority. The point is, I asked for information about him and was told that he had gone to school in Castalia and that he had become close to you.
It's true. We were friends.
Then I hope not all your friends are as troublesome.
Could I possibly read this piece?
Of course. I have to say that I admire his style. It reflects very well on his education.
You're not offended?
I enjoyed his eloquence, better than the usual heavy-handedness.
That very week, Father Jacobus addressed a brief letter to the Directorate of the Castalian Order, agreeing to support their approach to Rome. Joseph duly received notification that as he had completed his assignment, he could return to Balzo.
Joseph, you are welcome to stay, but I think you must return. I hope you will take with you the fruits of our conversations.
I will carry your wisdom with me for the rest of my life, Father.
My wisdom, indeed. I hope some of it will be useful. I am an old man and somewhat experienced. You have succeeded in your mission, but remember, Joseph, to keep a close eye on relations between Castalia and the outside world. They are changing.
I will. Goodbye.
Study the Reformation and Schism of the 16th century.
Goodbye.
And have no truck with any philosophy of history.
Spring came to Balzo, and it was time for the Ludus Solemnis, the great public glass bead game. Joseph arrived a few days beforehand and was summoned to the Magister Ludi's office to report on his time at Mariafels. To his surprise, he was met not by the Magister, but his assistant, or shadow, Bertram.
Oh, it's you, Connect. No point, I'm afraid. The Magister is unwell, and I don't know enough about your assignment to receive your report. Go and see Hursland at the Directorate and await instructions.
Oh, very well. I'm sorry to have imposed on you at a difficult time.
Forgive me if I've disappointed you, but please understand that the Magister is really quite seriously ill. The game's upon us. Everything is up in the air. I just don't know if you'll be able to conduct proceedings or if I'll have to leap into the breach. And there's no time to prepare myself for such a role. No time at all.
Joseph reported the news to Fritz.
I felt sorry for him.
For Bertram?
He's a good sort and talented, in a way.
We all find him rather annoying. He's so fussy and old-fashioned.
He does his job well, but I'm not sure he's up to this. Even if he were, it's an impossible situation.
What news of the Magister? His illness must be serious if Bertram's in such a state.
I'm sure it is, but I can't really imagine a game without him.
It's even harder to imagine the game under Bertram.
The announcement that the Magister Ludi was seriously ill and would be unable to oversee proceedings was delayed until the day before the game.
This is ridiculous. Bertram should have taken decisive action days ago.
He isn't free to act, remember? He has to follow the Magister's wishes.
Bertram was indeed in an impossible situation. Guests poured into Balzo, some unaware of the Magister's absence, others deeply worried. They gathered and settled for the preliminary meditation. And then Bertram, wearing the Magister's festival robes and exhibiting considerable control, although looking extremely pale, initiated the first movement of the game. Over the days that followed, Bertram looked increasingly strained.
They say Magister Thomas is close to death.
His shadow looks terrible. Those robes do not sit well on such a slight man.
He is showing such poor judgment. No wonder the third movement unraveled like that.
No wonder the integration took so long.
No wonder the resolution took such awkward shape.
Have you heard, Joseph? Bertram's falling apart. Lucas said that he'd been told...
Shh. I don't want to hear any of that nonsense. I'm here to watch the game.
It's the Shadow's fault. The most disastrous game in memory and all his fault.
Magister Thomas has spoken from his deathbed. He says the game must continue.
No,
has named his successor.
It won't be Bertram.
It never is the Shadow.
He's a disaster.
This is a disaster. Who will it be?
I heard it was.
Surely not.
What about...
I can't stand this. That's so unfair. He played his part as best he could. More than that, he sacrificed himself by taking on a task he knew to be impossible. Why is everyone so harsh, so cruel?
You've been away a long time, Joseph. You're thinking like someone who doesn't belong, or you'd understand that it was a sacrifice that needed to be made. Bertram knew that.
After the dismal conclusion of the game, Bertram slipped away.
What's happened to Bertram? He didn't stay to receive the guests of the board.
I believe he asked to be given immediate leave and is taking a walking trip in the mountains.
A walking trip?
Bertram did not return from his trip to the mountains. After a while, a story went round that he had fallen to his death from a cliff. The matter was discussed no further.
Who will it be? Have you noticed the directors are all here?
The Civil Service High Committee too.
All here.
They summoned Connect. Joseph Connect.
Yes, several times.
But he's only 40, isn't he? Far too young.
But the last Magister was appointed at 45.
Who summoned Connect?
The President called him in.
And then the Master of Philology.
Shh, pipe down. Connect is coming along the path.
Doesn't he look haughty?
Always above himself, that one.
Be quiet.
Never really one of us.
I should have known. I should have guessed it. After all, it was perfectly probable. Should I be glad? No, I am glad. Are you glad? Oh, Joseph, I'm beside myself.
Slow down. What's this all about?
It's likely, but more than likely, that you'll be elected Magister Ludi. You, Master of the Glass Bead Game. There were three candidates, you see. I heard the Master of the Archives talking about it. Two were called in. They've been eliminated. All three had support among the Magisters, but you've got the President behind you. And not to mention the old Music Master. His vote very much still
Wait,
counts.
Slow down.
It's going to be you. Joseph, what is it? What's the matter?
Joseph realized he had known this all along. He was going to become Magister Ludi, the Master of the Games. It was the highest possible achievement, and yet one about which he had not really been given any choice. He was on the point of sacrificing himself, and appeared to Fritz to look proud and exalted, yes, but also lonely and resigned. What Fritz did not yet know was that Joseph had never stopped questioning the system that had swept him so quickly and smoothly to such greatness, and that the closer he got to its center, the more those doubts would grow.
The biographer was played by Derek Jacobi, Joseph Knecht by Tom Ferguson, and the Music Master by Malcolm Raeburn. Van der Trave was played by Terence Mann, Plinio by David Seddon, Fritz by Toby Haydoke, Bertram by Jonathan Keeble, and Father Jacobus by David Fleischman. Young Joseph was played by Aidan Parsons. The Glass Bead Game was written by Hermann Hesse, dramatised by Lavinia Greenlaw, and directed in Manchester by Susan Roberts.
Well, there we go. And what a fine bevy of Manchester-based actors there, not least to Jonathan Keeble, surely one of the best voice men in the business. He's plastered all over the Seventh Dimension.
Daha 18'inde, ömrünün baharında, ölüm daha çok uzak yaşına, umut onunla, sevinç onunla, gelecek onunla. Yükselsin diye erdemin bayrağı semalarımızda, 18'inde, ömrünün baharında, yüreğine doldurup umudu düştü hasretinin ardına. Erken büyüyor çocuklarımız, 16 yaşında direnişçi, 18'inde bir kahraman, öyle bilge, öyle insan, gözlerinde gökyüzünün yedi rengi. Uyanıyor bir Haziran sabahında İstanbul. Uyanıyor Gazi, uyanıyor Armutlu. Ok meydanı uyanıyor. Gün dönüyor, varoşlardan akıyor hayat. Taze bir bahar havası sokaklarda. Uyanıyor İstanbul. Gencecik bir kızın, Sibel'in zafer sloganlarıyla. Bu haykırış, bu slogan, bu ses. Tanıyor bu sesi insanlık. Binlerce yıl öncesinden, Anadolu köylerinden tanıyor. Baba İshak'tan, Demirci Kava'dan, Köroğlu'ndan, Bedrettin'den tanıyor. Pir Sultan'ın sesi bu, yüzyıllar öncesinden bugüne uzanan. Bir ana nasıl korursa yavrularını kötülüklerden, bir güvercin nasıl çırpınırsa yavruları için, öyle koruyor yoldaşlarını. Onun mayasında vefa var, özveri var, tereddütsüz kendini feda etmek var yolunu gözleyenlere. O feda kuşağının evladı, kaç kez geçti de ateş çemberinden, kaç kez sınadı da yüreğini kavgada, öyle aldı bu yükü omuzlarına. Geri çekiliyor vuruşa vuruşa, gece kondular sıralanmış yolu boyunca, çiçekleniyor sokaklar o vuruştukça, gözler aralamış perdeleri, gir içeri diyor gözler, burası siper, burası vatan sana. Sırtından sıvazlıyorlar Sibel'i, gözlerimizden bir damla yaş olup akanlar. Dört mevsime, yedi iklime sorduklarımız, canımızdan çok sevdiklerimiz. Kulağına eğiliyorlar ve sor bunların hesabını diyorlar. Bir vakit orman kurtuluklarına atılmanın, dipsiz kuyulara salınmanın, ahlaksızlıkların, namussuzlukların, sor bunların hesabını. Makineye kaptırılan kol için sor, üzerine kurşun yağan bedenler için sor. Güç veriyorlar, damarlarına taze kan oluyorlar, akacaklarını bile bile. Teslim olmadı ki Pir Sultan, teslim olmadı ki Hızır Paşa'ya. Mahir teslim olmadı ki Bedrettin, bir kez bile el pençe divan durmadı ki. Seyit Rıza dar ağacında kendi çekti ya ipini. Çift havuzlarda, bağcılarda nazlı nazlı dalgalanan bayrağımız, sabolarımız, niyazilerimiz hiç teslim olmadı ki. Yazmaz tarih kitapları bahşediğimiz zulmün önünde. Ölüme, yarine hasret bir sevdalı gibi sarılıp öylece ölürüz de baş eğmeyiz yine de zulmün önünde. Ey evladını yitirmiş analar, ey şafak söktüğünde yola dizilip gecekondu sokaklarında çamura toza bulananlar, alnından akan terle toprağı işleyenler, bir dilim ekmek için gün doğumuyla gün batımını kör karanlık mahzenlerde yitirenler, ey işçiler, gökkuşağının renkleriymişçesine tamamlayanlar birbirlerini, Anadolu'ya can katanlar, halklarımız, öpün, koklayın hasretle, vatan diye kucaklayın şimdi o gülen fotoğrafı, Sibel'i.
Yeah. Haykır acın ey halk, baş eğme haykır. Bir yol kavşağındasın ve ancak yaraların haykırışlarla onarılır. Bir yol kavşağındasın ve senin değişmek için çırpınıyor kaderin. Kuşan alnında biriken o kara teri, sırtında şakırdayan kırbacı kopar. Soluk al, ışıldat o mazlum yüreğini. Bak korlaştı acıların kozalandı. Ey halk, parçala şu nankör suskunluğu, baş kaldır artık. Sevginin ve öfkenin uğultusunu bağrına vura vura taşırken sana karşılık gözetmiyor o gencecik insanlar. Ne barbarın tehdidi, ne dişleri kıran elektrik, dalga dalga yayılan o rüzgarı durdurabilir. Bu direniş senin için ey halk, bu çığlık senin kollarınla. Yıkılsın şu köhne dünya ve coşkuyla yeniden kurulsun diye çınlatıyor hayatı. Bir yol kavşağındasın fakat mutlaka değişecek kaderin. Bunu bekliyor ıslak çukurlarda üşüyen şu yoksun çocuk. Bunu bekliyor gözevleri kurutulmuş analar. Bunu bekliyor zincirin oyduğu bilek. Bunu bekliyor açlık, kuraklık, ılık ılık akan kan. Bunun için en genç yerimizi ölümle tanıştırdık. Kuşan kendini artık. Biraz da gövdeni yüreğinle kırbaçla. Ey halk, haykır acını, bu kara dumanı dağıt.
Namluların gölgesinde binlerce yürek sahip çıktı Sibel'e. Komutan binlerce el üzerinde sarı bir yıldızın ışığıyla uğurlandı. Halk evladını bağrına bastı. Şimdi sokakları yakıp kavuran, sadece gökyüzüne asılı duran güneşin sıcağı değil, bir halkın öfkesi yakıyor şimdi zulmün bağrını. Delikanlılarımız, genç kızlarımız, üzerine dünyanın en güzel türküsünün adı işlenmiş kırmızı fularlarını yüzlerine takıp, savurdukları ateş toplarıyla aydınlatıyorlar gecenin karanlığını. Şimdi cenk mevsimidir. Dağların heybetini alıp ardına yürüyenler, zindan karanlığına direnenler, Buca'da, Ümraniye'de destan yazanlar ve yeni destanlara bilenenler, Anadolu'nun her köşesinde zulmedenlerin düşlerini karabasanlara çevirenler, binlerce siber olup haykırıyorlar. Asıl siz teslim olun.
Can var verilecek, kardeş var ayakta. De microfoon doet het ook. Een hele erge goedenavond, goedemorgen, goedemiddag of goedenacht. Alle vier onze luisteraars over de gehele wereld. Wat een exclusief gezelschap, waar verkeert u in, zoude ik zeggen. Het is een goede gelegenheid om Rockin' Dopsy en his Cajun Twisters Colinda te laten spelen.
Don't dance, Colinda. Don't dance, Colinda.
5 jaar Katrina alweer. Waar blijft de tijd? Staat hier een script. Lovely Rita, Fats Domino. En dan voor Colinda, Rocking Dopsy. Iedereen kent Hell's Angels? Ja? Nou, ik niet. Ik ken wel het muziekje.
I put a spell on you. Because you're mine. I don't like the things you do. Oh, baby, I ain't lying. No, I ain't lying. I can't stand you. Can't stand you running around. I can't stand it, baby, Lord, because you put me down. I put a spell on you. Lord, because you're mine. You hear me? Don't want me. I'm yours right now. I put a spell on you, girl, because you're mine. Now listen, I put a spell on you, and you're gonna do right. Can't stand it, girl, because you put me down. Oh, and that is why I wanna put a spell on you. Because you ought to be mine.
Nou, ze dat wil is nou juist de vraag. I put a spell on you, natuurlijk, van Manfred Mann in dit geval. Paul Jones, lead singer. En daarvoor een theme from Hell's Angels van de Barclays. Met de kader van Sergio Mendes in Brazil. Sechante Seis, zeg ik het goed? Ja! Bonuspunten. De draaibaarheidsfactor terug naar de Atlantica.
Thank you. sabia, se vai, é preciso samba, fazer samba, viver, enamorar.
Merkwaardig. Colelma West Montgomery en daarvoor Batacala van Sergio Mendes in Brazil. 66, zoals u het kent. Klikkety kliks. En nou zou Sarah Vaughan moeten gaan zingen. Maar waarom doet ze niks? Pom, pom. Nee, helemaal niets. Vreemde dingen gebeuren hier. Of gebeuren hier liever niet, maar daar is het Radio Patapoe voor. We gaan eens kijken wat er mis kan zijn. Intussen hebben we gelukkig Yvonne Elman bereid gevonden om Hello Stranger te zingen.
Seems so good to see you back again.
I still love you so. Oh.